There is some signals and mechs are stomping and we are live. Hey folks, this is Walt with the BAMF podcast and the Indie Creator Spotlight. Today we are with a special guest. Mr. Scott Moon is joining us to talk about Mecha Mayhem and why he loves it so much. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. Happy to be here.
We're really, really, really excited to have you. We found you through Keystroke Medium, the show that you do with several other authors and editors and people who really love literary stuff. Oh, yeah. You know, when you start following a show and people give good advice and stuff like that, you kind of want to get what they're into. So I delved into your newsletter, and very graciously you provide audio for Shorty, which yes. is an intro to your like Mech Warrior universe. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it was fantastic. Narration was great. The tone was fun. Nice short introduction to that universe. So that's how we found you. Can you talk a little bit about how you got into first the Keystroke Medium guys and how you guys like joined up together and joined forces and started putting that show together?
Yeah, we can go there. So Keystroke Medium, it's a show, it's about writers and writing and stories and mostly just shenanigans. It's pretty loose. Anybody who's seen it knows we kind of go off script just a tad from time to time.
Never happens.
Total lies, slander. But a long time ago, Josh and I had met, and you know, prior to a few years ago, it was hard to find a good writing community or even like a good gaming community or it just was not as much online. And we would have weekly writing meetings. We'd meet for coffee and we would write, and we'd try to get more people in our genre, because you could go find like a romance writing group or maybe a thriller writing group, but there weren't many science fiction or fantasy. And we'd always try to get a lot of people, but it'd always just be the two of us. And his wife always teased him. He'd say, "I'm going to my writing meeting with Scott," or "going to my writing meeting." And she'd say, "You mean you're going to have coffee with Scott?" And so we did that for a while, and we started getting some frustration with schedules and kids and jobs and all that. And one day we're like, "Let's try it online. Let's just have a hangout." And I think we used Blab at the mm-hmm. time, because we were both listening to the Smart Artist podcast, or self-publishing podcast.
Right on,
guys. And we did that for a while with Blab, which was interesting. Then we switched over to Google Hangouts and started talking to more and more people, and had some interviews and just kind of expanded. Now we have like 9 people that work on the show. And it's really a cool little community. We some of our most talented helpers, they just volunteered throughout the show. You know, they were like watching the show and they, "Hey, can we do this for you?" I'm like, "Well, sure you can. You can help with that.
As long as we can pay you in coffee, it's fine."
Yeah. Yeah. And, we started out, you know, we both were writing science fiction, military science fiction, stuff like that. And so that's usually the focus, but we've also had some fantasy authors. We've had, post-apocalyptic people, a couple of romance, but mostly it's sci-fi, space opera, stuff that we talked about.
So are you going to get into the post-apocalyptic mecha romance novels next?
Yeah, right. Maybe some dinosaurs in there. You throw some stuff, depending on how it goes, but no, I'm kidding. But yeah, no, I like a lot of genres. I've tried my hand at romance because everybody says you should do that and make a fortune. Well, it's not that easy. I'm no good at it. So that went nowhere. But I do actually have a good friend, one of the members of the show now, Devin C. Ford. He writes post-apocalyptic fiction in England.
It's the Blackout series, right?
His is the After It Happened series is his.
Right on.
And I think he's got a couple spins there, so you're probably right. But he does really well, and he's pretty cool, and I might do some writing with him, and you know, I'll try about anything as long as it's a good story, having fun.
Absolutely down cool. with it. So where did the love of Mecha come in? Because your Shortyverse is amazingly detailed in terms of mecha stuff. So how did that pop?
Well, you know, I think that part of the deal with that is that mechas are a big part of, we were talking about earlier, I can't remember if that was on the show or before we started, that it's such a huge part of our culture. Growing up, everybody's got mechas, you know, people have played different video games, watched different movies, everybody's seen Transformers. like Richard Fox has the Ember Wars, and his Terran armor core is huge. And those are basically giant mechas, a little bit different spin on them. And it kind of comes naturally if you've consumed enough. If you consume enough mecha, then you can create some mecha.
Nice.
My starting point really was kind of a premise. Shorty started because I was doing lots of collaborative writing, and it was really hard to find time for my own writing because I needed to do the ones that were with the bigger authors that were going to make me some money. And I started writing this, and actually it started with a book cover. I made the book cover while I was proof listening to an audiobook and needing something to do with my hands. So I got out Photoshop and I started taking all my stock images and moving them around and putting planets behind them. And I created this character Shorty. And then I just started writing on it. So I pants did most of the first story, just like, and I picked him out as he's a mech pilot. He's in a small mech. He's got a big mouth, gets him into trouble. And let's just see how bad this can go. And then it went bad really quickly. And it goes from there.
Little dog syndrome.
Right. Yeah.
I can identify.
Yeah.
Since we're diving right in, let's talk about Shorty. What can you give people a little background? So if you're stuck in an elevator with 20 Comic-Con guys all dressed as Optimus Prime, and they see your book in your hand, what would you tell them? How would you introduce Shorty?
Okay, so basically Shorty takes place. I have another series that this was originally going to dovetail into, and it can, but it's written in a little bit different style. So the original story is Bane at Dawn, and so I have some of my political structures from, or actually this SMC Marauder series, and they have a different type of mechs, which we could talk to if you want to later, because they have these Cyclops. They also have aliens that are in burner mechs. And nice. Some things like that are really cool. But those are all written in third person from like 15 points of view, like Game of Thrones style. Shorty is written first person, present tense, just like I'm literally talking to you, telling the story about what I did today or what I'm actually doing. So it's real fun. It's real immediate. But so what you need to know about Shorty is he exists on a planet called Doomsday.
Which I loved. That was a cool thing.
It's really a great setting. Everybody's got to have a crucible where they can't get out. You know, if they could just leave, then they could just, you know, when it got dangerous, they could leave or escape or do something. But Shorty's stuck. And he's stuck on Doomsday. And Doomsday is a planet that has immense natural resources. And at some point in history, because this is, you know, long-term human evolution history, has become a has several foundries where they build mechs, and then they ship these mechs off to other parts of the galaxy to fight wars. But over the course of this history, which isn't described in a ton of detail, but it's all there behind the curtain, so to speak, this planet has become contested. So people know, well, if we want to win the war, we got to control the mechs on continent, whatever, Foxtrot Foundry or Delta Foundry, they're all named that way. And so they all fight over him. Well, it's become eventually devolved into just a giant battle planet where everybody fights all the time. Nobody really makes any progress. Some people take and they build stuff and they ship it off. Other people just are like always looting these battlefields that are like hundreds of years deep, full of wreckage everywhere. And Shorty's there. Well, he's got a big mouth. He's got a little bit of a problem with chasing girls and drinking too much beer and whatnot. And he can never really afford to get himself off the planet. So he's always trying to get that bigger score, make a bigger hit, you know, win some sort of bigger honor so that he can maybe go someplace else. But you know that he probably would have a hard time leaving because this is who he is. You know, he's got to take these risks. And so that's where it starts out, is he's trying to get his little 17-ton mech to fight off some bigger ones. And he's got twin sisters who are like legitimate in the military, who are like hot shots and
give him crap all the time.
Yeah, they give him crap. Like, why don't you get your life together? So, and the story starts out basically, he's not in direct conflict with this because he's 17 tons. He goes a little bit into the weight classes. Most of them are like 45, 50 tons. But there's one called the Goliath. There's like three of them, and they're like 500 tons, and they're like giant mountains of mecha awesome. And he talks about how he thinks he could take one or whatever. And you know that he's probably going to run into one sooner or later, and it's going to go horribly wrong. So that's kind of the setup. That's how we get rolling.
Right. I loved the classification of mechs. I like that. Much like military vehicles, each mech had its weight class, its type, and had that cool name to kind of just give it that little punch home so you could remember. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, military acronyms are awful. So like, you know, the only one that's stuck in the last 40 years is Hummer for Humvee. But I mean, when you look at the actual acronym for it, it's an alphabet soup. But to have like the Archer mech, the Goliath, you know, I mean, you didn't need a whole bunch of numbers and stuff like that. These are what the mech warriors would call each other's mechs. And that was pretty cool. I loved the political like landscape of Shorty. The fact that Doomsday was kind of just like this constantly contested planet, because not only did it keep one faction from kind of dominating because everything was constantly fighting back and forth. The other thing that was really interesting was that you had ebbs and flow that you talk about in the political landscape. So when you get a huge military force moves in and finally conquers and takes one of these factories, you have a period of ensuing peace that kind of stabilizes the economy and everybody's got work and blah, blah, blah. But then things get a little slim. So then more raidings happens. And it was neat to see that kind of, almost like warlord mentality.
Yeah.
Like, almost like someplace like in Africa or certain places in Central and South America. Can you talk a little bit about like how you came up with that?
Yeah. Well, it's how you said it's exactly right. It's a lot like kind of like warlords, mechas meet Mad Max kind of world in the future. So the political environment, how I developed that was that, again, this was when I started writing it. I just started writing the story and I'm like, you know, it really needs to be attached to something. So I started to put it in my SMC Marauders series politically. And it's designed to be quite a ways after. I like the Warhammer 40K stuff where you can have stuff that happened 40,000 years in the future.
Oh, yeah. So
you don't get bound up with this other series. If people don't want to read the Marauders series, then they don't have to, because it affects nothing in these books or these future stories. So, you know, we started at Earth, like a lot of science fiction, they've cast outward. And at some point, I've always been fascinated with, like, if we had massive exploration, that you would go and maybe find a planet and it would be like you'd have the whole planet. So in another unrelated series I wrote, they have like different single purpose planets. Like there's a golf planet. In the story I'm talking about is my Viking sci-fi series. They made these planets into historical reenactment worlds. And so one of them was made. That's the Grendel Uprising series. They're shorter, like shorties. They're not very long. But the premise of that story is that humanity expanded outward. They had more worlds than they knew it could do with. Once we started finding them, somebody bought this world, turned it into 9th century England, Scandinavia, where they're going to do reenactments. They hired thousands of actors and then they went bankrupt and left. And so 5,000 years, 10,000 years in the future, all the people that were left there as role players really don't know the difference. And then you have people from modern age wind up there. And so now they got modern technology, but they're among Vikings and it just kind of goes horribly sideways.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. So this is short as the same type of thing where there's lots of planets. So the political landscape starts out on Earth. You have the United, I think it's the, you have like basically North America, and then you have
the Yukao.
Yeah. The Yukao. Yeah. The Chinese Republic, the French. What did I call the French ones? I'm losing track of my empires. I had the French Empire, Greater Kingdom of France, Greater France. There's a couple of different ones like in South America and China that I have in my compendium, my Bible for this stuff, where I can expand out and go forward and have more and more conflicts. So, and you know, they're all modular, and so like you might have a country on Earth that, you know, is maybe the size of England, but they own like 75 planets, you know, a few systems over, and they're a huge force. They're just not big at, on the home world. And so the power struggles are always very dynamic and fluid. And the person who's the top dog now is might not be later. And, you know, one little thing changes and like somebody takes over all of Doomsday, then they would have all these massive state-of-the-art hardened warrior mechs to go out and sweep the galaxy.
Right on. That was really cool. I really, like I said, the political structure was very interesting in how it kind of keeps the balance of power so that these guys are always having to struggle against each other. As far as like the main character is definitely Shorty, and you know, you, even though he's kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, he's kind of a dick.
Oh, he is. Yeah, he totally is.
he's got that like lovable, roguish sense of honor that you just can't help but saying, yeah, I could hang with this guy. But the other side of that is one of the big characters, the other big character in the book is the planet Doomsday itself. It's not an easy place to live. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And when you were talking earlier, it was made me think about when you look at Shorty's personality, the personality of Doomsday is much like Shorty's personality. If it starts to be peace, everything goes well for a while, then they just get themselves in trouble. And it's the same type of thing. So Doomsday, naturally, the planet is heavier. The atmosphere is harsh, but there's lots of natural resources. We came down there and built like, you know, millions and millions of factories and stuff to build all these war machines. There's not as many now. And, you know, we didn't do the planet any favors because nobody was really meant to stay there. And it just makes things really hard. Like there's around Delta Foundry, they've kind of have a green zone where they have some hydroelectric dams, some things where they have some agriculture. So, cause people got to eat and stuff. So that's always hotly contested, just different things. In the third story, they go off into these canyon volcano-y kind of areas where there's aliens. The first time I run into aliens in this story, and there's missionaries that have gone back in there. And Shorty gets hired to go back and help pull back some of these people that have got themselves in trouble. And there's a mech warrior priest who becomes his buddy. You know, it's kind of like the brother John from Robin Hood. It's kind of, you know, big beer drinking priest that's out there.
Right on.
In the middle of this swarms of aliens that are coming. And that's the dark secret, is that it's not just humans going after each other. There's going to be even bigger problems because other people in the galaxy, other races have realized that, you know, this would be a pretty neat strategic thing to have for a warfighting effort.
That's really cool. Like I said, I burned through the first book, so I'm stoked to get the rest of them and burn through those as well. So to have an upcoming character to look forward to is actually pretty cool.
He's one of my favorite. Yeah. And then the fourth book, and I don't mean to interrupt you, for the fourth book is written. I just have to edit it. It's actually written by somebody, Devin Ford. He read it and he messaged me and he said, I love Shorty so much. I want to write for it. And I've never really felt organized enough to do collaborations, but he said, no, I just want to write this story. So he wrote it. So he wrote Shorty Meets the Brits. So he writes it in third person, but he writes it with this character, more like it's being told about Shorty. And it's the British Royal Marines have a version of Shorty, and they're off there up to no good. So it's
really That's fantastic. Yeah. You talk about some of the Marines a little bit in the first book. And how they're in like, what are they in, mech suits, kind of similar to like Starship Troopers or something like that?
Yeah. And that comes to one of the story writing problems, is that when I first envisioned it, it was really hard to live at all on the surface without a mech. And so if you were just like, you know, a mechanic or something that didn't have a mech, or you worked on a mech, or you're a security guard or whatever, you were a farmer.
They have these tech suits.
Besides, yeah, you had to have some assistance. Well, there's some cities where he's like in the, you know, not the French Quarter, but where he's partying. And he's running into some girls that he likes and whatnot, and they're obviously not wearing suits. And so there's kind of like, you can be out in the environment, but it's best not to do it for long, and it's really hard on your health, and you got to be pretty tough, no matter what you look like, to make that happen. Yeah, so.
Yeah, and the cities and foundries, do they have like an adjusted gravity that allows them to go day to day, or does everybody on Doomsday, they just have to wear suits?
Yeah, you have to either wear a suit or you got to build up for it. You know, if you can't be in a suit, then you need to get someplace where you can have some more extra downtime, you know, different nutritional requirements, things like that. All the different hacks you like. If you can't afford a suit, maybe you afford a partial exoskeleton or some things like that to kind of get through. Because most of the people that are on Doomsday are not there willingly. And so you're kind of stuck, you know.
You got to make do. That's really cool. The other thing I really enjoyed, because former military guy, I loved the weapons.
Yeah.
There was some classics in there, but like some other things like his sword.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Can you talk about how you developed weapons and what kind of inspirations you took?
Yeah, no, that's a really great question. So a lot of it is pretty obvious. The mechs have this, you know, kind of your basic things, but, you know, I wanted to have a sword. And then I have this scene where he's, you know, there, a lot of the stuff they do is salvage. So they find these helicopters and they make helicopter sword blades at them, but they don't really know what a helicopter ever was. So there's things like that where they make these swords like that. The Goliath is big enough that it has like kinetic weapons, catapults. It'll just take its steam shovel down, scoop up some dirt and can launch that with some pretty devastating effect. Shorty is, you know, he's a salvager. He's a little bit of a scavenger when he can't rob somebody or go on a mission and get a bounty. And because he does lots of raids, he's a little bit of a bandit sometimes, you know, because got to stay alive. But he's made himself some like wings, and they're more like glider wings, and they're not really very sturdy, and they break a lot. And, you know, he jumps off the top of a cliff. He may glide to the bottom, or he may just fall right on his face. You don't really know until it happens.
Yeah, I really enjoyed a lot of the weapons. The helicopter blade was definitely a personal favorite. But the way he uses his mech is very telling about the kind of character Shorty is. How maneuverable, especially with the wings. A lot of the jump jet scenes were very, very interesting. Like you said, he's not only a salvager, but he's also a little cocky bastard you just want to slap. So you know, you get those scenes where he's just like tooling around and getting everybody dizzy and everybody's getting pissed because they just want to swat him. So, yeah. I mean, his fighting style really fits well into the character. Did you base Shorty off of anyone?
You know, I don't know. I had Josh and Ellen both. Ellen's my editor. She's really, really good editor. She put a lot of time into these. I kind of found my writing voice. I think some of Shorty's attitude is kind of maybe my personal angst. You know, you just want to go, you might just want to say stuff and not really give a crap about things. But that's the thing. Shorty, we're making him sound like an asshole, and he is, but if he's your friend, he's definitely got your back, and literally nothing he wouldn't do for you. And everybody wants that friend that's like, yeah, I'll go punch somebody in the face for you if I have to, because, you know, what are they going to do to me? Throw me in jail again? You know?
And you definitely see that because in the story, he works with a partner. And
next to Danielle.
Yep. And the partner runs into some trouble. And, of course, you know, Shorty's got to do what Shorty's got to do. Do in future books, do we see that relationship continue? You know, him working with her as kind of like his eyes in the sky?
Yeah, there's definitely some more of the relationship, but I try not to make that the focus of the story. So they're never going to probably perfectly hook up, so to speak, but they try to run into each other a few times. He runs into some other people that are equally as interesting. Slight spoiler alert is she starts to get opportunities to go abroad throughout the galaxy. And she's like, you really need to get your shit together. And sorry, I hope I can swear, because I've done
absolutely. It's good.
So she's going out there and doing stuff, and you know, she knows how talented he is, she knows how brave he is, all these things, and just really thinks that he needs to become part of a team. And he kind of tries, doesn't always do a great job, but by the end he's going to be part of a team, but it's going to be not a team like a tradition in the traditional sense.
Right on. Right. He's that guy that he's the dog you got to leave a muzzle on.
Right. Yeah. You never know. You think he's pretty much trained, but you know, he's not completely housebroken, and nobody wants him to be housebroken anyway.
Right on. As far as you know, you talk, you got the fourth book in works where Shorty meets the Marines. Are there plans to keep expanding this universe? Because like I said, the first book just had that tone that slapped you in the face, got your attention, and kept you interesting through the whole thing. There wasn't a part of it that really lulled for me. Do you have plans to keep going with Shorty?
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, it's my own marketing prowess is not as robust as it could be. So it's more of a passion project. So I don't make a ton of money on it because these are things I can write and get them done between my major books I'm writing for other authors and stuff. And so I just really love them, and I write them and I get them out there. And the idea was I would write about six of them and then compile them into a book. And I also would like to start writing some short-length works. And that's how the audiobook came, the audio option. And you mentioned it in the beginning, is people who want to listen to Shorty, because I have a professional narrator. I had him do these because I wanted them done, but they're too short to really be sold on ACX or to get like a Podium or a Tantor or Audible contract. But I didn't want to wait, you know. That's my little inner Shorty coming out. It's like, I should do it this way, but I'm just going to do this. So I had them produced, and so people can sign up for my newsletter. They can get access. And it's not really super complicated. It's not very high tech. Or they can do, I have a Patreon page. I have like three people on it. But I have that up there. If people want to access that way, they can also get the audio to go along with it. Because I like audio. I like audiobooks.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my four-wheel drive four-legged friend and I listened to the entire first book just you know, going for his walk. So I mean, that was absolutely huge. You know, we've pretty much talked up Shorty, and everybody, if you want to taste a Shorty, you should definitely go to sign up for the newsletter, or go on Amazon immediately and check it out, because these books are a lot of fun. There's just times where you're cheering and trying to make sure that, you know, you're not running into traffic because you're not not paying attention because you're listening to Shorty beating up a bigger mech. You can find them on Amazon. You can find them at the newsletter, and you should definitely check those out.
They're also in KU. If you have KU, you can read them for free.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. Now you have other series as well. And, you know, I kind of want to dive into those a little bit, because, even though we like mechs, usually when an author does a property and does it well, definitely check out other stuff that they have. You're doing stuff with Mr. Fox, are you not?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we just today released Gott mit uns, which is the fifth book in the Terran Strike Marines. It's out there. The first four books in our series are 99 cents each. So if people want to snatch up that they're meant to be standalone. You don't have to have read the entire Ember War, but if you are a big fan of Richard Fox, then they will definitely, they're definitely more Richard Fox, more Ember War stuff.
Yeah, right on. And can you just give us a little, once again, if you're trapped in an elevator with a bunch of angry space Marines?
Oh yeah. So the Terran Strike Marines it's after the Ember War. There's, of course, new threats to the galaxy, and their lieutenant of this Strike Marine team is a proxy that was designed to lead Doughboys. And if you've watched the Ember War, Doughboys are giant humanoid type constructs that only live 4 or 5 years. They're like the pit bull of procedurally generated humans. It's a concept from the Ember War, if you haven't read it. And so all of the Doughboys passed away after the Ember War. They weren't meant to last very long. They're just literally cannon fodder to win that war. But there's one or two, and specifically in this story, Lieutenant Hoffman, he has one Doughboy that won't die. And so it's him, this Doughboy, and the rest of his team, and they get sent on impossible missions. They're always going out to, you know, they have to save the Breitenfeld at one point, which is a famous ship. They have to do different, they have to bring back a cure for a disease that's wiping out a planet of the Dotari, and fight the beast of Eridu, you know, things like that. It's just, it's strike Marines. It's squad level combat action. You don't see a lot of the armor core like in his general armor corps, but there's a little bit of overlap there too. And Richard writes all the armor core stuff because he does it really well.
Right on. Right on. And those, all those books are at 99 cents in preparation for the fourth one launching, fifth one, right?
Launching. I'm not sure what we put the fifth one at. I know it's live, and the first four are definitely 99 cents. So, and they're on audiobook. They're in Podium did publishers pack. So the Dotari Salvation is book one. Rage of Winter is book two. Rage of Winter is the Dotari Salvation is the Strike Marines go off to this. They have to go rescue a lost fleet to bring back a cure for a disease for the Dotari, their allies. Rage of Winter, they have to defend this planet, and it's heavily centered on the sniper character who has to like hold back in advance, kind of like I always say his name wrong. The Finnish sniper, Sino. I always say his name wrong. I can't pronounce it. But based on that, then you have Valdar's Hammer, which is some fighting in space between ships, and then Beast of Eridu is your typical going off to an alien world and fighting through jungles and fighting these impossible creatures. Book five is part of it. It's the end of the Terran Armor Corps. They dovetail between the Terran Armor Corps series, which Richard wrote, and then the Terran Strike Marines in the final battle, but also they need to save Admiral Valdar and the Breitenfeld, which is a big deal, kind of a big deal. So
nice.
Good times.
How was the collaboration?
Collaboration is good. I'm a little bit of an expert in collaborations now. I've done three pretty major ones. I work with Craig Martell on a 12 book series. That's the Dark Landing. I work with Richard for the Terran Strike Marines. And then also I'm working with Jan Chaney on the Last Reaper series, which is in the Renegade Star universe. So Richard is interesting because he has a very well-defined and large fan base for the canon for his stories. So we talk about it. He sends me a detailed outline. I write the crap out of it. He sends back what he wants changed. He has a few scenes that he always writes himself, certain characters that really he needs to do. The Terran Armor Corps, he always writes those. Those are kind of his baby. But everything with Hoffman and his Marines and Opal, except for the last scene with Opal, unfortunately, are all mine. So
yeah, because he did that as his... That was the short story he did?
Well, he wrote Opal is one of the Doughboys.
Doughboys.
So the short story, he got nominated for the Nebula because what happens is these Doughboys weren't really meant to live a long time, and eventually they need to they stop functioning and they're suffering, and there's like a command phrase or basically turn them off. And it's pretty tearful because you get attached to them because they're like big loyal humans, you know, they're not I'm really attached to him. I don't know if I can read the scene he wrote, some of the things he wrote, because it makes me cry. But yeah, so in his story for his Nebula nominated story, it's that incident with a doughboy named Diamond. Opal is a different doughboy, but kind of from the same group.
Gotcha. Yeah, I enjoyed Ember War, and then I really loved the comic we had Richard and John Delarose on to talk about when they were launching the project. So that was really cool. Would you be excited to have somebody, you know, once again dressed as Optimus Prime, come up and say, "Hey, I'm a comic book guy. I want to do a comic shorty." Would that be cool?
I love comics. I'd be wallowing in art all the time. Yeah.
Or like have somebody do like a role playing game for Shorty. That would be dynamic as well.
That would also be that'd be sweet.
What kind of mech media are you consuming? And is it a passion? Do you have like a Gundam in your, you know, living room or something like that?
A lot of my mech role playing right now is with my 8-year old because we do we're smashing each other in the faces. But you know, I played Mech Warrior and stuff probably kind of towards the end of college and stuff. My horrible dark secret is I love video games and stuff, but I haven't hardly had a chance to play them. I work full time and I can either write or do something else. So I'm pretty behind on most of them. I go in and I play various games with my kids, and they just are like, can you just stop embarrassing us right now? I get killed pretty quick. I was playing Fortnite for the first time yesterday, and it's like, can I live more than 1 second, please?
Yeah, exactly. And have somebody doing that floss move over you.
it's very undignified.
You never saw that in a mech. They just hit you in the face with a Gauss cannon. How about movies and stuff like that? Any good mech movies that have influenced your writing? You know, I mean, right now the big contender, of course, is all the Pacific Rim stuff, but anything in the past that like that horrible but oh so delicious Robot Jocks from back in the day or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, I watched all that stuff. What's the one, I can't remember the name of it. There was the one I watched with my first son back in the late 90s, and it was a Japanese cartoon, but they had I can't think of the name of it, but they had the mechs that looked like animals. You know what I'm talking about? Mm. It wasn't Robotech, because we had some Robotech too. I really can't remember the name of it, but we watched that a lot. That was really good. And I lost my train of thought. The Pacific Rim. The Pacific Rim. It's interesting you mentioned that, is because I love that movie, obviously. And I enjoy both of them. The second one I didn't like quite as much as the first. But what's interesting is about, probably when I first met Richard Fox, I bought the soundtrack for Pacific Rim.
Which is really good.
Yeah, and I have like four soundtracks, and I have them on rotation. And so I've been writing to the soundtrack for Pacific Rim since 2016. I don't know if that means anything, but yeah, I can totally down with it.
And the mechs that are in those would be Goliaths in the Shortyverse, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Those would totally be Goliaths. In the second one, you know, they have there's a little kind of ball shaped one that,
yep.
And that would be Shorty ish.
Yeah, that was cool. And you know, you're reading Shorty, and you're kind of matching up those properties in your head, and I could definitely see something like Gypsy Danger as like, you know, one of these big Goliaths, but like some of the things that Goliath was doing in the book was just like, dear Lord, you know, just even messing up the landscape to challenge Shorty as he's moving.
You can hear him coming. He can wade through harbors and stuff like that. There's a whole scene there where Shorty's kind of describing himself. He's like, yeah, I could have fought him, but I decided to sneak behind him and swim through the harbor and steal his stuff, things like that.
Yeah, that was definitely pretty wild. What kind of projects do you have coming up that we might be able to tease or scoop while we're here? Anything? Obviously, you know, we're going to probably start bugging you relentlessly for more Shorty, but anything on the horizon that nobody else might know that you might want to, you know, just share with us and a few hundred of our friends?
I can throw a few things out there. First of all, I appreciate the chance to talk about Shorty, because I really love Shorty, and I get, it's been really, writers and creative people and whoever, sometimes you kind of struggle in the dark, and then all of a sudden you get this appreciation that's like more than you really think you deserve.
Right on.
And it's been really good for me, on a creative or personal sense. So I love it, even though it's not what I do for money. The next big thing I'm doing is we're finishing up, obviously, the Gatma Dunes. I'm writing probably a book a month with Cheney, and that is the Last Reaper series, which isn't, there's not so much mech. I think it's classified.
Space opera more, right?
Space opera, and they put it in genetic engineering. But basically, that story is, it started out as how the idea came to me for the Last Reaper is, I was like, well, what if you had a decommissioned Death Star? And then you had something happen on the DMCSR, how creepy and weird that would be. And what if that was a prison? And so I thought, well, you know what that sounds like, Escape from New York in space. And it's not the same story. You know, obviously people are going to always say that. But so I started writing, and so you have this character who's partially augmented. So he's got a, you know, mechanical arm, augmented eye and things like that. And he goes through and he's a Reaper. He's like an assassin, but he's like an assassin that's supposed to make it look bad, you know, and kind of send a message. And he's going through that. So I'll be writing those with Cheney. I may have a future project with Richard in the future. I actually was working on a series I've been wanting to do for a long time called The Blue Sun Armada. and it's kind of a mech warrior. It's a mech based artificial intelligence influenced story where it's a return to Earth story. And it's scheduled to be about a 12 book series. And you have this civilization that's trying to find its way back to Earth. And it's going to be just like battle, planet after planet after battle and fleet battles. And it's going to be pretty good. I'm really excited about that one. I just got to finish it.
How deep are you into that?
I have 8 books outlined, or at least on the surface of outline. I have the first book detailed outlined. I actually rewrote it because I had about 60,000 words done on it, and I just scrapped it because I wanted to start in a little bit different direction.
Dear Lord.
Oh, I know. It hurt. But I wanted to – it felt fresh, and so I have – I'm just into the first draft on that. And I have to work on it after I do my paid projects and the stuff that has a little bit bigger audience. But right, I think that when I get that done, I'll be very proud to share that with some people.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. And usually you see, I've seen a couple of stories where you see mankind has gone to the stars and Earth has gone away. Right. And then the people from Earth go to the stars a second time. And oh my God, it's the Earthers. They've come. But to have people go out and then come back to Earth, that's one I haven't seen a lot of.
The twist on this one is that they're not exactly human. They really think they're human. And they were sent out eons ago to prepare the way. Well, no, they don't remember that, and they're coming back. And so when the full humans and this civilization meet, they're not really going to get along great. And so that's going to cause some awkward situations.
Awkward as in people just keep stuffing peas into their mouth at the dinner table?
Yeah, stuff like that.
Or
yeah.
Awkward as in this is the business end of a rifle. You're going to do what I want.
As in I'm going to ram this Star Destroyer through your moon or whatever.
are you following anything that's going on in like in the science field, stuff like the things being done by Boston Dynamics with like gyroscopic locomotion? The people they're programming these robots to now jump and run and stuff like that. Have you seen any of that stuff?
Oh yeah, I mean I see a lot. I'm really fascinated by it. With all that I'm not good with science, that's not my strong point. So I usually have to do some research or ask questions to get my science close enough that it fits the story. And I only put science in that makes the story is important to the story. I don't give Shorty a gun that he doesn't need. It's got to have a reason to be used. But yeah, like I see those all the time. They got the robots that look like dogs and they run around and they're jumping over things and
they're kicking them to get the knock over.
Yeah, they push them around. Or like I've watched. At work, we go and eat this hamburger joint, and they always have 2 TV screens up, and one of them is always – they're always playing movies you can't hear.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm so behind on my TV and watching that I'm watching this movie while I'm eating this hamburger and talking to my friends at work, and it's this robot, and it's like in Chicago or some sort of post-apocalyptic – you probably know what it is. And I was like, that's really kind of interesting, and I was trying to – but I didn't know what it was. And so it took me a while to figure out that was Chappie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't, it wasn't quite what I would write and stuff, but it was still interesting, kind of a near future robot type thing. That would be something that would be really cool to do as well. Something like that would be really fun.
Now, did you follow the epic crap talking contest between America and Japan to have the first ever giant robot fight from a couple of years ago?
I remember hearing about it, but I never heard if it actually went anywhere.
Yeah, the Japanese won. Bastards.
Yeah, I'm sure they cheated.
Nice. So if people want to stalk you on the internet, what's the best place to find you?
There's 2 great places. One, my website, scottmoonwriter.com is easy. scottmoonwriter.com. I may slur that sometimes. And then Keystroke Medium, we have a Facebook page that is very active. That's where I spend most of my social media time if I'm going to interact with people. But I also have the Scott Moon group on Facebook also. But Keystroke Medium is easy to find. There's only one. And you'll see us there. We have shenanigans. We talk about who knows what.
Yeah, right on. It's a lively community. I enjoy the show that you guys do very much. I never miss an episode, and you got a very welcoming community. So it's not, nobody's standoffish. Everybody interacts with everybody. It's really fantastic. You got Gottman Gott minst uns,
right?
God with us. That, when is that dropping?
That's today. This is April. What was it, April 15th? Right now.
Yes, sir.
I was always trying. Yeah.
16th. Excuse me.
16th. Yeah, it's the 16th. It's one of those things where we haven't made a huge deal of it yet, because sometimes you like to let Amazon kind of kick it around a few times before you start telling all your friends. But it's out there, and definitely if you want to check that out, especially if you're in KU, you want to give it some page reads and see if you like it.
Right on.
And it's really good. I like it.
Reaper, you just released one of the Reaper books a couple weeks ago, right?
In February, we launched The Last Reaper. March, we launched Fear the Reaper. And hopefully, if I can get my acting gear, the end of this month, we'll launch Blade of the Reaper. And that's those three books, the first two, have been by far and away my best performing books that I've ever been involved with. It just, nice. For some reason, people like those. I wish it's kind of maybe like what Shorty would have been if it had a platform and it was a little bit, and there were longer books.
Right on. Once again, that's like Space Hunter or Bounty Hunter kind of. I'm stoked. That's actually in my reading list. I got it all queued up. So
the main character for that is a little bit like Shorty, except he's older, and he's just one of those guys that, you know, they trained him to kill. They put him in prison. Now he's out. And you know, what are you going to do to him? He's pretty opinionated about certain things,
as you would be in that kind of thing. Right. Is there anything that, before we call it a podcast, is there anything that you'd like people to know going forward?
Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you.
And definitely would like to see more people coming over and hanging out with the Keystroke Medium and just talking about writing and science fiction and mechs and just any type of shenanigan. It's really, nothing's wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, this has been the BAMF Podcast, Indie Creator Spotlight. My name is Walt. We've had the pleasure of Mr. Scott Moon coming in and talking all things mech mayhem and a little bit of media. And BAMF, we're out.